appreciate the Lord's faithfulness. Appreciate that song. That's my testimony and my prayer. I want us to be together in heaven. I want above all for me to be able to hear those words. Well done. To be able to know that the labors and toils of life, the cost of being faithful, was worth it and has paid off. I feel very needy this morning. I would ask for an interest in your prayers. Have a burden the Lord has given me, as I've written on the board. It's a burden that Haggai expressed. Consider your ways. I'd like to begin in the book of Haggai, the first chapter. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The setting of this book, Haggai is a minor prophet. The Lord gave him this message at a time that the children of Israel had been released from their captivity of Babylon. They had been taken captive and carried away as the Lord had told them they would be for a space of 70 years. This was, as I understand, the first of the group of the Israelites that were returning. At the time that they were taken captive, the city, the temple was destroyed. It was torn down, and as they were returning now, the setting of this book is 16 years after the fact. After the time that they had returned unto their land, whenever they returned their initial burden and desire, their first and foremost concern was to rebuild the temple. Now understand, the temple was more than just a building. It was more than just a symbol. It was something that meant their very relationship with the Lord. That was the place that they could go and the Lord would meet with them. The place that they could go into His presence, as it was so necessary for them. And so upon their release from captivity and the Lord allowed them to be taken captive, they had turned from Him and forsaken His ways. The Lord said that they'd be taken captivity. But He also promised them that, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord of hosts, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The Lord, throughout everything that He brought them through, had a plan, had a desire for them to bring them back into a place where they could once again inherit a land. He had given them a promise that He had a land for them, a place that was flowing with milk and honey, a place that they could have victory, and that was still the Lord's desire for them. They laid the foundation of the temple within the first couple years of their return, began rebuilding the temple, but yet something happened over the course of time. Some 16 years later, as I mentioned, this book, the Lord gave this message unto Haggai and said, deliver this unto the people. For in that space of 16 years, they began to lose their concern about the temple. It began to lose the importance that it first held. Whenever they came back and they realized that that was the first and foremost and primary thing that they should look after, the temple and the rebuilding of it, that which the enemy had destroyed and torn apart, burned the walls and the gates with fire, to rebuild it, that once again they would have a place that they could meet with the Lord. The Lord could talk with them and His glory could fill that house. That was the Lord's desire. But yet He asked the question, is it time for you? O ye to dwell in your sealed houses, in this house lie waste. Their concern began to be focused upon their own possessions, their own houses. Whenever they came back, and oh, I'm sure that they were rejoicing, glad to be back, and those that still remember the time that they were taken captivity, I'm sure that was a welcome sight for them to see. Their own native land. But yet, over the course of time, as is so characteristic of the enemy, whenever we have and start out with a true purpose of heart, with a true desire that, Lord, your work is foremost and paramount in my life, Lord, rebuilding the things that the enemy has destroyed, the work of God, Lord, your presence in my life, that's of paramount importance unto me. You know how easy it is, though, over the course of time to begin to lose that? Over the course of time, here it took 16 years, and the Lord in His faithfulness sent this warning. The enemy's patient. The enemy has time, and he's willing to bide his time working with each and every one of us, and has a plan that he might destroy our purpose and our desire and intention. As I was seeking the Lord last night, He began bringing to my mind faces and people that one time started out and had a desire and intention. And I realized that they had the same desire that I have. They had the same intention that, Lord, I'm going to go all the way with You. Lord, I'm going to be faithful. But yet, I look at them now and they're so far out. Brother Philip mentioned last night, you've seen young people with beautiful, innocent lives, and yet you watch them over the course of years dragging that right down into the mud, right down into the pig's pen, and just as the prodigal son, wallowing through sin and corrupting and defiling what God intended to be so beautiful. And I began to see those faces, and I remember 5 years ago this meeting, last night of the meeting, the Lord gave us a wonderful service. I don't know those of you that remember. The altars were lined with people. We had a baptizing that night. There were, I don't remember, over a dozen, I believe, baptized. You know, as the faces began going through my mind of those, I don't remember all of them that were saved, but I don't know of many at all that are still saved 5 years later. And life for us to consider. The Lord's message unto the people in mercy was, consider your ways. You, where you are today, consider your ways. Have you lost the fervor of your desire and your intention? Was there a time that you started out and you realized the enemy has taken advantage? The enemy gained a foothold in my life. Destroyed, remember the time that we walked in sin? The Lord delivered us, and how thankful we were for deliverance. But have we lost our purpose? Have we lost our bearing in where we're going? I believe the Lord sent this burden to us here today for a reason. Consider your ways. I would entreat us each one this morning to consider where we're at. Consider where we're going. Have I lost my purpose? Have I lost my heading and direction of where I'm going? The Lord said here in His message through Haggai, is it time for you to concern yourself with your own dwellings? Is it time to put foremost in your life and your mind, and I'll add here, careers, houses, lands, automobiles? And please understand, I'm not preaching against those things. But is it time for us to put those ahead of the work of the Lord? Is it time that would be my pursuit? That would be the thing that I find myself spending my time, dedicating my energy unto? Is it time in the day and age in which we live for that to be the focus of our attention? For that to be the essence of my existence, is pursuing the things of this world? Pursuing my own comfort? He said here that you dwell in sealed houses, decorated and adorned. Houses fit for royalty, perhaps. And yet, over here, there's a work that wasn't completed. Over here, there's a foundation that was started. Good works that were begun. The right first step taken. And yet it fell by the wayside. You have sown much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. The eighth verse says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Do you realize if the Lord blows upon our efforts, it will come to nothing? If the Lord blows upon what we're trying and striving to accomplish, it'll come to nothing. He said here that if you put that as the pursuit and the focus of your life, you'll find that you have nothing. You'll find that you expend your energy and your life, your time, and you look back and you realize 16 years has gone by. Oh, how quickly time flies. How quickly the weeks turn into months and the months into years. And I look and I'm asked today, the Lord challenges me to consider my ways. And I ask myself, what do I have on hand? What's the condition of the Lord's house? The Lord asked in Isaiah 66:1, He said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. But where is the house that ye build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? But it says, unto this man, all these things of mine hand made, but unto this man will I look, unto him that is poor and contrite and trembleth at my word. Unto him that puts foremost in his life, his endeavors and his pursuits, the rebuilding of the wall, the building of my relationship with the Lord. Scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If I should begin to lose focus on what's most important in my life, in the cares of life, in the pursuit of my job, in the acceptable, necessary things of my life, if I should begin to become so busy that I lose sight, it's necessary, isn't it, to build homes? The homes have been burned down and so forth. It's essential for them to rebuild those homes. But yet their focus became too centered on those things. They became too focused on that, and they lost sight of the Lord's house and the rebuilding of His temple. I'm interested this morning in the maintenance and the rebuilding as necessary of the temple. This temple that God said, I desire, I've made the heavens and all these things, but yet I desire a temple within you. Your body is to be the temple in your life. Oh, what's the house that I'm providing the Lord this morning? Am I pursuing other interests? Do I find myself caught up too much in the busyness of life that I don't have time for the Lord? Begin losing that fervent desire that I one time had. Isaiah, the 59th chapter. We'll come back to Haggai. Isaiah 59 in the 8th verse. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. God said unto them there through the message to Haggai, I've stayed the heavens over you from dew, and I've called for a drought over the land because of the loss of your priorities and your focus. You're failing to put your interest in the things of God. And if we find ourselves in that place, do you realize we'll be, as the scripture says, groping for the wall as in darkness? You see a world that's clambering all around us to be able to fill their life and heart with satisfaction, realizing that there's something that I'm missing. And so I find myself working all the harder to fill that place. And it still doesn't fill it. There's still a void. There's still an absence. It still feels like a barren wilderness in my life. I don't have the true satisfaction that I need. I believe that you know what I'm talking about this morning. To be able to have the true contentment in my soul. It said here that they're the way of peace they know not. They grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. Scripture says that we're to instruct those that oppose themselves. Those who don't even realize it or intend to. But yet they're contending and conflicting with their own purpose. Going out and striving, making their purpose the material possessions of this life and cares of life. And yet they're opposing their very efforts and what they're doing. And find that it comes to nothing. Find that over the course of time, children are gone. My age has increased and I have nothing on hand. And I look and I haven't tended unto this temple. Haven't tended unto my soul. The song, appreciated the song that was sung, says that, don't remember exactly the wording of it, but you may have a fancy car, you may have clothes beyond compare and all those things, but if you've not made preparation for your soul, then in hell you'll lift your eyes, realize what was it worth. If a man should gain the whole world, if by putting aside, and you know I could perhaps think, and I fear that young people too often are deceived into believing this very thing, all I have to do is take God out of the equation. It's a bother. It's a nuisance. It's something that pulls me back and holds me back. I'm not able to accomplish the things that I want. I want the sealed houses. I want to be able to pursue the things that I think will bring true satisfaction. And all I have to do is take God out of the equation and send Him over here. But folks, it doesn't work. There's no satisfaction that can afford us in the world. Nothing that we can pursue or obtain because God said, I blow upon it. I cause it to come to nothing. All the labors that you spend, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. When you did bring it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Because of mine house that is laid waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Remember Solomon. Solomon was greater in wisdom than all those that came before him and came after. He said that he obtained everything that he sought after. If there was something that he saw that he desired, he said he withheld nothing from himself. He had vineyards, he had houses, he had servants, and all the things that you could possibly desire. If I were to set up the ideal scenario in my carnal thinking, he had it. Had everything that he could wish for. But yet at the end of it all, he said that I looked at it, and lo, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was something about it that not only did it satisfy, but it vexed me. There was something about it that gnawed at me, that I'm still not satisfied. I'm still not fulfilled to the deepest core of my heart, and leaves me groping for more. Scripture we read there in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, speaking unto those that have turned from the Lord, those that have turned and one time knew. I'd like to speak to those, if there are any here this morning, maybe one time knew the joy of salvation. You know, the first verse of that gives us hope. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. The Lord's message through Haggai as well was, though you've allowed neglect to fall upon my house and you haven't rebuilt it, yet he said, go to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord, if you'll but take the step, if you'll but acknowledge, Lord, the house is desolate. Lord, I'm in a barren place. I've tried to satisfy the longing of my heart. Lord, I've tried to fill my time. Lord, it's not working. It's not satisfying. If I can come to the place that I acknowledge that need, oh, the Lord's there desiring, longing, and his message to me, that was a plea. Oh, consider your ways. Consider where you're at today, because the Lord said his desire was to take pleasure once again. As whenever the temple was first dedicated and the glory of the Lord descended upon it, that was his desire again, to fill it with his glory. Isaiah the 29th chapter. Isaiah 29, the 7th verse, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth. But he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh. But he awaketh, and behold, he is faint. And his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. It shall be as one that has a desire, that has a need in his life, and he thinks that he's got it satisfied. Just about the time that I think I've now met the need, I've now bought the biggest and the newest and the greatest, now I'm satisfied. Just about the time I get to that point, I look and I realize I awaken. Realize I really have nothing. I really have nothing to show for, and yet the desire's still there. And so the next thing that comes along, I have to try to fill it again. And the more I go, the further I go from the Lord. The Lord's calling all the time, consider your ways. Consider, oh, how long will you go before you realize it's not working? Before you realize it's not satisfying my soul? It's not satisfying the deepest place that longs for a relationship with God. How long must you go? Meetings like this come and go, and the Lord's desire is for us, each one, no matter our station or where we're at, to consider our ways. As one that dreameth and thinks he's satisfied, and then awakens, the prodigal son is said came to himself. Whenever he said, give to me the portion of goods that belong unto me, and he went out thinking that he could satisfy himself. Whenever he found himself at the bottom of the mire, whenever he found himself eating of the husk and the pig's food, he realized and he awakened and came to himself and said, what am I doing? Why am I here? Whenever Father's mansion is back there waiting for me. Oh, how long will it be before I realize it's not satisfying? I one time knew, the second chapter of Haggai. The 3rd verse. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Who of you here this morning remember the glory? Remember the relationship that I one time had? I look back and I remember that night that I said, oh Lord, I'll never leave you. Lord, and I was so thankful. And I had, the scripture says, what vehement desire, what zeal, yea, what indignation, and such a passion for the things of the Lord. That was all I could think of. Everything else just pales in the background. Just pales in comparison. Lord, this is all I need. All I want. I'm satisfied. Lord, sometimes hear some that get up from the altar or are saved. Say, oh, I want to go work for the Lord. Dedicate all my time to Him. Well, praise the Lord. You know how easy it is to lose that, though? You know how easy it is over time for that passion to begin to ebb? The Scripture addresses those in Revelation who have lost their first love, who one time had a fervent desire and love for the Lord, but yet the Lord brings them down to this place. Whatever it might require, whatever hardship, if it should require me getting down to the pig's sty, for me to acknowledge and realize that I have nothing, whatever it takes, the Lord is desiring for us to consider our ways this morning. Scripture in the 57th chapter of Isaiah says, there is no peace unto the wicked, unto those that turn from the Lord, unto those especially that one time tasted and knew. Decide that I can go another way and pursue other interests. There's no peace. It says, for they're like the sea that's troubled, that foameth and bringeth up all these things, and never satisfied, never contented, never at peace, never at rest, never able to have the real satisfaction and contentment in my life that I so much long for. We see the world killing themselves, trying to fill this need. And yet it's so simple. Yet it's offered so freely unto everyone. Christ, the need you have. Christ, the place that will fill every desire. It says here that you, he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I'd like to ask you this morning, has your bag developed some holes? Has it developed some places that I'm finding what I have is leaking out? Thinking in terms of our salvation, are there some things that I've begun to allow in my life that I find are eating holes in the bag? That I find may seem like small things, but yet for some reason, from camp meeting to camp meeting and week to week, I find there's something leaking out. I find that I'm not able to really hold on to something steady. I find my relationship is up and down. You earn wages and put it into a bag with holes. I don't want to just, if I have a flat, a tire with holes that's losing air, I don't want to continue just going back and refilling it with air. But I want to address the root of the problem. I want to address the real problem. I've got some holes. I've got some places that's allowing the substance to leak out. Over time, if we're not diligent, the enemy will cause there to be holes in our relationship. Holes in my experience with the Lord. And I begin losing the very things of God. I begin losing that zeal. I begin losing that determination, the peace, the joy. I begin losing my desire and concern for the work of the Lord. I begin losing my burden for souls. And I find myself increasingly focused on my own self, increasingly focused on my own life, my own needs, and yet there's a world hurting. There's a world dying out there that the Lord needs me to stand in the gap for. The Lord needs me, and He looks and says, there's still places in the temple. Thinking now in a broader sense of His church, there are still places in the temple that need to be rebuilt. There's a place where only You can fill. But yet am I too concerned about my own house? Am I too concerned and focused on my own self, while yet the work of the Lord is needing so much? The work of the Lord is needing someone that's willing, not someone that's skilled or talented, but Lord, just to say, here am I, make a fool of me, Lord. Whatever You need to do, Lord, fill the place. Lord, my focus now is shifted off of my own interest, shifted off my own life. Lord, I want to see Your temple. I want to see Your kingdom built up. I believe that should be the desire of every one of us. Remember one time whenever the city was under siege, and there were two, I believe, that said, if we remain here, we perish. If we go out into the camp of the enemy, we perish. We might as well go out. And so they went out, and the Lord had caused the enemy to hear the sound of a great army and so forth, and they fled. And they went out and found, after all the months that they had been blockaded, that they had been under a famine, they found food that was plenteous. They found everything that they could desire. Can you imagine being in that place? Whenever I've gone without food, I've eaten everything that I could find to eat, and there's nothing left. And the forecast or the outlook of my life is so bleak. I realize that I die here. I die here if I don't do something. You know, there may be those here this morning that the outlook is that way. If I stay here, there's nothing ahead of me. I realize that I'm not being filled. I'm not being given. You labor. You've sown much, but you bring in little. I still have a need in my life. You know, there is a bountiful storehouse, and the Lord has already won the victory. The Lord has already said it's yours. The Lord has already driven. He led captivity captive. And if we'll but step out, if we'll but accept it and say, Lord, that's the focus of my interest. All else aside, like Christian and Pilgrim's Progress plugged his ears and said, life, life, eternal life. If I'll but do that, I'll find that which fully satisfies every need that I have, fully satisfies every longing, every desire, and I'll find myself being able to raise my hand to the song. I'm satisfied with Jesus. He's everything that I need, everything that I long for. Lord, I found it, Lord, in Thee. I found everything that my heart longed for and desired in Thee. But yet they said after that, after they found it, they said, we do not well. Because they remembered those that were still in the city. They remembered those that were still starving. They said, we be here. And they had the good news and desired and realized the need to go back and spread it. You know, if we become so self-centered, we begin to lose our focus and desire for the work of the Lord. Our burden for souls, we'll get into a place that I'm content where I'm at. I feel like I have my needs met. I'm satisfied where I am. And so I become complacent where I'm at. They said, we do not well. Because there is still a work that needs to be done. I can't say that I'm satisfied. I have my needs met and stop there. But oh, I remember my brethren. I remember those that are still back there, starving. Can we look out and see others of our loved ones, others of our community that are starving, that are longing for what we've tasted of? Are we so, and this is a question that I can only ask and answer for myself, am I so self-focused that I don't see their needs? That I don't, it doesn't cause within me a burning burden and desire for them? Lord, help us this morning that we not get into a place that I'm so complacent that all I can see is my own interest, but that my desire would be the rebuilding, the building up of His kingdom. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. The place that the Lord has for every one of us. Why do you spend money for that which isn't bread? Why do you allow the focus of your life to be that which doesn't truly satisfy? Yes, there are those things that are crucial and important, of providing for my family and whatnot. But it should pale in comparison to my focus on the Lord. That should be foremost and paramount. That's where I'll find the true satisfaction to my soul. Hosea, the 10th chapter, says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord till He rain righteousness upon you. That's the Lord's desire. If there are any here that feel like I'm in a place that the heavens have been stayed, I'm in a place that I feel like I can't get my prayers through, I feel like I don't have the closeness of the Lord's relationship, my relationship with Him, I don't feel the nearness of His presence. Whose fault is it? Don't you know the Lord still desires to show His glory in His temple? The Lord still desires, if we will but put forth the effort, to rebuild it. There is that which satisfies, and the Lord says unto those who find themselves with fallow ground, find myself with an area of my life that I'm not bringing forth fruit, that I'm working and I'm laboring, but yet year after year I'm not seeing any growth. I'm not seeing any fruit that's being born, anything of real substance. Whenever it comes down our time to die, the thing that's important then, that's the thing of substance. The thing that I've done to make preparation to meet God. One thing that I can say for every one of us, if I don't know you all, and I do most of you, every one of us is going to stand before Almighty God. Every one of us is going to give account of the deeds done in the body. If my focus has been my own interest, and I've allowed the house of the Lord to fall by the wayside in shambles, only the things that are done for God will last and stand the judgment shock. I'd like to close in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If he shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. 17th verse is what I really want. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. But yet I have a place too if I realize I thirst. I've been spending my energy, my efforts on something that's not really satisfying. I still have a need in my life that I say, Lord, I come. Because the Lord's already there. He's already given the invitation. He's already asked and pled with us, consider your ways. And all I have to do is acknowledge, Lord, I have allowed your house to go by the wayside. Lord, I see the effects of my neglect. I see the places that the weeds are building up. I see the places that the walls beginning to crumble. Lord, I come. Lord, I come to you. I realize that I'm not satisfied. The Lord has the satisfying portion that we each one need. Came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Abundant life that he may drink freely of this river. What's the condition of our temple? What's the condition of the Lord's house that we're providing unto Him? Are we focused on building it up? The Lord's desire is to still show His glory in His temple. You know, as long as the Lord spares time, it's never too late. Doesn't matter how long I've allowed it to fall in neglect. Doesn't matter how long I've strayed from the Lord, if He in His mercy comes and says, I still desire to dwell in your temple. I still have a place in my kingdom that's missing you. I still have a need that you need to fill. That I would acknowledge and say, Lord, I come. And yield unto Him. His desire is that we each one would consider our ways. Desire your prayers. Amen.